8:12 is the time right now on your Tuesday morning. All of a sudden, we have pretty blue skies out there. It's gorgeous over North Hills. As you watch WRAL News here this morning, we are glad you're with us. And Elizabeth Gardner in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with another look around town here. Getting pretty good.
What a difference a day makes. Now, you know, it was closer to the afternoon before we saw a lot of sunshine yesterday. We are still seeing the low pressure system sending us some chilly air and some clouds in places like Goldsboro. And Goldsboro, you may not see a whole lot of sunshine today. Same for Rocky Mount, Wilson, all the way up toward Roanoke Rapids. But we're already seeing bright skies here in Apex and Chapel Hill and in Durham. So from the Triangle area, southward and westward, sunshine today. But the farther north and east you are, the more clouds we're going to see. This low right here is going nowhere. There's nothing coming along in the atmosphere to help to move it. So it's just going to sit there and wander and continue to feed cool air in and some cloud cover into our northeastern counties. What else is happening in the tropics? 80% chance that this wave coming off the coast of Africa will develop in the next 5 days. We'll take a look at the model plots. Fortunately, there's a big old trough that's going to come off the coast of the United States and kick that thing up to the north. So it doesn't look like it's going to impact land. Not so sure about this one. It may impact land in minor ways in the next 5 days. It's only a 30% chance that it develops, but it is likely to bring some breezy conditions and some rain to the Leeward Islands and then head over towards Central America. We'll keep our eye on it, but right now that one doesn't look like it's going to be something that causes major problems. Still, we'll keep watching it. We take a look at our next weather maker, which is a front that comes in on Friday. We're not going to see rain out of this one. Ahead of it, we'll see our southwesterly flow warming us up into the 80s on Friday, low 80s, very comfortable. But then behind the front, a big drop in our temperature as we drop back into the 60s for highs. That's where we are today, looking at mid to upper 60s in some spots, low 70s in others. The blue color contours are where it's below normal and then above normal here in the yellows. The yellow means just a little above normal. And then here comes that blast of chilly air that comes rolling in and stays with us for a good chunk of next week. You can see it here in another view, all that cold air from Canada making a big old dive toward North Carolina as we get into the weekend. So here's how that looks. It will really feel it in the mornings. Our normal morning low right now is 56. We're cooler than that this morning as well as tomorrow. Closer to normal Thursday, Friday, Saturday, but Sunday morning looking at 45, and we may see cooler temperatures in some of our northern counties. Say up around Roxboro, we could see upper 30s. Wouldn't be out of the question to see a little bit of patchy frost possibly on Sunday and Monday morning, especially if these numbers drop a little bit more. We'll keep our eye on it. Michelle?
Thanks, Elizabeth. Tracking a couple of different crashes as the morning is going on. Traffic is really picking up. I have about four different crashes to tell you about. This one, I-40 eastbound at NC-55. We are seeing a crash there. You can see some delays building. So if you were in that area, please keep that in mind this morning. Another crash that I am continuing to follow is this one, the Creedmoor Road crash at Mount Vernon Church Road. Delays seem to be easing a little bit, but that is a motor vehicle accident involving a motorcycle. So just keep that in mind if you're in that area. The third crash I want to tell you about is this one. This is I-40 eastbound at Hammond Road. Not seeing any delays there. So that is some good news. And finally for you, there was a crash on 40 westbound that seems to have cleared, but we are still seeing those delays. That's typical for this time of morning.
Raleigh police are asking for help to figure out how a man died near Crabtree Valley Mall. Officers sent out a notice saying they needed information about 21-year-old Rodney Lewis Clark. He was found dead just before 4 p.m. Thursday afternoon on the Crabtree Creek Greenway. Officers closed that trail for hours as they investigated. They've not released a cause of death.
We're working to learn what charges will be filed after a large investigation in Franklin County near Zebulon. A lot of you wrote to us about this. Deputies say they tried to stop a vehicle for speeding yesterday. They say a driver appeared to throw a gun out of the window into a lake, and so dive teams were called in response. The driver is in custody. We're told he's a convicted felon.
We're hearing from former NC Courage head coach Paul Riley after a scathing report on sexual misconduct in women's soccer. The report includes accusations against Riley and other coaches detailing a systemic failure to protect players from verbal and sexual abuse. When we asked him for a statement, Riley told us via text, "Not much of an independent investigation." That was his quote, and he declined to comment any further. We also spoke with the lead investigator in the case.
Abuse in women's professional soccer appears rooted in youth soccer. Although our mandate was to investigate abuses in the NWSL, not in youth soccer, the sad reality is that the abuse that we confronted does appear to be rooted there.
The report also says no anti-harassment policies were put in place until recent years.
10 law enforcement officers are out of a job after a stampede at an Indonesian soccer game. 125 people died in the chaos Saturday night. There are several investigations underway, but officials say it started when police fired tear gas inside the soccer stadium because crowds rushed the field. Instead, it ended up causing panic, and now a police chief and 9 elite officers have been removed from their positions. More than a dozen others are being investigated.
The man accused of killing 6 people at a Wisconsin Christmas parade faces a delay in his trial now after he was thrown out of court.
Mr. Brooks, we're having issues because of you.
I'm not going to let you intimidate me into believing
Mr. Brooks, I'm not intimidating you.
Daryl Brooks and the judge argued for hours over whether he can have more time to prepare for the trial. Brooks has asked to defend himself in the case and fired his lawyers. The judge moved him to another courtroom where he can view the proceedings but not interrupt. Brooks faces 77 charges related to the deaths last December when prosecutors say he drove his SUV into a Christmas parade in Waukesha, Wisconsin.
Back now to our coverage of Hurricane Ian. Search and rescue missions remain underway in some of the hardest hit areas of Southwest Florida. Governor Ron DeSantis says 1,600 people have been rescued so far following the Cat 4 storm. It decimated coastal towns, flooded inland cities, and completely cut off island communities. Officials in Charlotte County, which is just north of Fort Myers, say rebuilding is proving to be challenging.
It does add to the complexity of the process. It's been hard to get things here with I-75 shut down. That's been an issue. And the 62% of our population that's over 65 is a problem. And that problem means they need a lot more care and assistance.
Power companies say they're also facing some difficulties. Florida Power and Light say they've come across electrical vaults filled with sand, debris, and even patio furniture when trying to bring the power back on. While floodwaters have receded from most communities in Ian's path, some neighborhoods are starting to see water levels rise. That includes places downstream of runoff from the storm. New video from north of Orlando shows one community where right now boats are the only way to get around. President Biden plans to travel to Florida tomorrow.
This morning, we are learning more about what unfolded during the January 6th Capitol riots. Currently, 5 alleged members of the far-right group, the Oath Keepers, are on trial for seditious conspiracy. The Justice Department claims the group's leader and 4 others plotted to oppose the peaceful transfer of power. They say the group stockpiled guns just outside D.C. that could be brought into the city at a moment's notice. Defense teams say in response, Oath Keepers only came to the city to serve as security and played no part in the violence. If convicted, all 5 could face up to 20 years in prison.
Now to new developments in the FBI search of a former President Trump's Mar-a-Lago estate. Multiple outlets are now reporting that back in January, Trump instructed one of his lawyers to tell the National Archives all of his presidential records had been returned. That lawyer refused the request, saying he didn't know if that was the truth. It was later in the summer the FBI seized thousands more government documents from Trump's estate. The former president has denied wrongdoing.
And Renee, that news came the same day the former president announced a new lawsuit against CNN. The lawsuit accuses the news outlet of defamation ahead of the 2020 election. It says CNN cost him the presidential race and seeks $475 million in damages. CNN has not responded.
An investigation found fraud and theft are running rampant on the electronic payment service Zelle. The investigation was conducted by Senator Elizabeth Warren's office, which found that fraud is increasing on Zelle and banks are not refunding most customers. That could be a violation of federal law, since 7 of the country's largest banks own Zelle and claim it is safe. The investigation revealed Zelle users lost an estimated $440 million through fraud and scams last year.
Plans to add a social district in downtown Durham could move forward later this week. City Council will hear a presentation on the idea Thursday, and it will allow people to carry alcoholic drinks as they walk around streets and inside participating businesses. The proposed map would cover all of downtown Durham. We spoke with the head of Downtown Durham Incorporated, and she says her group spent months surveying businesses about this.
We really see the benefit of getting people to move and walk about a downtown area and experience all the great things that we have in downtown, our parks, our wonderful walkability, our wonderful small businesses, and our wonderful larger events and venues that we have in the downtown area.
The proposed social district would run 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m.
People of the Jewish faith are getting ready to start the holiest day of the year. We're talking about Yom Kippur, which begins at sundown today. In Jewish tradition, members of the faith community are supposed to fast, repent, and worship until the end of nightfall tomorrow. Services will also be held throughout the day. Ahead, a Wilson woman is in jail, accused of hurting her own child. Leaders explain why it is everyone's duty to speak up. Still ahead.
Right now, third down and three. Quick throw. What a catch.
And it started as a catch. Now it's catching everyone's attention. Don't miss the big play in an NFL rivalry that has people talking today.
Pressure. Ball was hit and nearly picked by Greenlaw. Ebukam got his hand.
Your number one source for local news. This is WRAL, coverage you can count on.
It is 8:26. I'm Renee Chu. After a weekend of Ian and even rain lingering into Monday, it is just so nice to see the sunshine. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with what it's looking like outside.
It was a long stretch, wasn't it? It is so pretty out there right now. Durham and Raleigh both at 50 degrees with sunshine. Sanford, same thing, 49 degrees. So it's cool, but that sunshine looks gorgeous. Now, of course, other spots may not see a lot of sunshine. Goldsboro, Wilson, Rocky Mount, all the way up to Roanoke Rapids, probably going to stay in the the clouds for most of the day. It's 47 right now in Roanoke Rapids and 46 in Southern Pines. So it's a chilly start. You're going to want to grab the jacket walking the dog. But if you're walking the dog around 5 or 6, temperatures should be in the mid to upper 60s. Michelle?
Thanks, Elizabeth. Tracking a couple of crashes this morning causing some delays. The first one I want to show you is here. This is I-40 westbound at Lake Wheeler Road. This is a pretty significant accident. You can see the delays really building there. That just popped up, so keep that in mind if you're in that area. Another one I want to tell you about, this is I-40 eastbound at NC-55. We have seen some on and off delays with that one, so just also something to keep in mind. We did have a crash here as well on Mount Vernon Church Road. That one cleared, and this one, I-87 westbound at New Hope Road, that one not causing any delays. Renee?
Thanks, Michelle. A Wilson County woman is in jail accused of seriously hurting her own child. Bracey Bird faces charges including child abuse and attempted murder. Investigators say her child was treated for third-degree burns back in July, and doctors found previous injuries on the child. More businesses could get the okay to build in Raleigh. City Council is holding public hearings tonight on a series of rezoning requests, including a 275-acre housing and business project at Rock Quarry and Whitfield Roads. A protest is planned ahead of the 7 p.m. meeting. Next on Fox 50, details on the advisory now in effect for residents in Clayton after 2,000 gallons of kerosene leaked into a creek.
And how it could affect when and how those days are used. Interesting topic that we've had to tackle over the last couple of years. We'll talk about it more today. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. We've had a lot of rainy, drizzly, cloudy starts to our mornings. Finally, we've got some sunshine out there. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner in the WRO Severe Weather Center with what we can expect.
Looks beautiful, doesn't it? We talked about the fact that it's been a pretty long stretch of gray, cloudy conditions, of rain, some breezy, cool conditions too. It is still cool, but that sunshine always makes it feel a little more comfortable. 50 degrees right now at RDU with a dew point way down at 41. Our winds are fairly light as compared to yesterday, where it was cloudy, it was drizzly, it was chilly, it was breezy. The places that we'll still see that today are going to be anybody from Goldsboro northward and eastward, including Tarboro, Rocky Mound, to on up toward Roanoke Rapids. This is an area that's likely to stay under the clouds all day because the remnants of Ian are still sitting right here, wrapping some moisture around, wrapping some clouds around. But the farther away you get from that, the more sunshine we're seeing. Eventually, tomorrow, it moves away, but it's going to sit there in the northeast all day today. It has brought some flooding problems to folks there, and they'll continue to see more inches of rain today. What we're seeing this morning is some sunshine, but watch how we go through the day. Here's lunchtime, and again, Goldsboro, Rocky Mount looking cloudy, and watch how it looks like it'll stay that way through the day. There may even be more clouds that drift down later this afternoon across the Triangle area, but for the most part, north and east of the Triangle is where the bulk of the clouds will end up being today. It's a cool 45 in Roxboro and 46 in Southern Pines. It's 52 now in Fayetteville, 50 degrees right around the Triangle. Hour by hour, temperatures will climb into the upper 60s and low 70s in the places that see lots of sunshine this afternoon, but it will be a cooler low 60s in the cloudy spots.
And we're following some breaking news here in the WRA Live Center. A 21-year-old Polk County deputy was shot and killed this morning. I want to take you to these live pictures out of Lakeland, Florida this morning. You can see dozens of deputies and fellow officers and patrol cars all lined up, ready to escort the officer's body to the medical examiner's office. Polk County is just east of Tampa. It covers Lakeland and Winter Haven. The Polk County Sheriff says the unidentified deputy was shot and killed while serving an arrest warrant in Polk County early this morning. This is, of course, a developing story that we will continue to track here in the WRA Live Center.
Ken, thanks. Back to our coverage of Ian. The remnants of Ian are still causing problems in the Northeast this morning. Take a look at this new video overnight out of New Jersey. You can see streets flooded in Ocean City. Officials there say the storm caused many cars to stall out in the high water. And more rain is expected for that area through tomorrow. And breaking overnight, we've learned the death toll from the storm has now reached 106. And that includes four people here in North Carolina, the rest in Florida. New video shows the destruction on Sanibel Island. That's where emergency officials are pushing back against growing criticism that they could have prepared better for the storm. Search and rescue efforts are ongoing, and across the state of Florida, more than 450,000 people are without power.
Here at home, a recreational water advisory is now in place for the town of Clayton. This came in after 2,000 gallons of kerosene spilled into a creek behind Clayton High School during Ian. It then spread to the area along the U.S. 70 business corridor. We first told you about this spill on Sunday. In response, the environmental group Waterkeepers Carolina told us they are pushing the State Department of Environmental Quality for more information. They added their concern that people there did not want to speak out publicly out of fear.
Happening today, a rapper convicted of shooting and killing a 9-year-old boy in Durham could learn his sentence. WRAL will be in the courtroom today as a sentencing hearing for Antonio Davenport begins. A jury found him guilty of killing Zion Person. Person was shot back in 2019 as he was riding in a car with his family to get snow cones. Prosecutors say Davenport's gang mistook the family's SUV as one belonging to their rivals. Davenport faces two life sentences.
More businesses could get the okay to build in Raleigh, but some people aren't happy about the way the city is growing. City Council is holding public hearings tonight on a series of rezoning requests, including a 275-acre housing and business project at Rock Quarry and Whitfield Roads. Some community members are planning to protest ahead of that 7 p.m. meeting. They say they're concerned Raleigh's rezoning policy increases density too much, putting neighborhoods at risk.
Today, school leaders in Wake County will reconsider the future of remote learning days. This comes as questions grow about how useful those days actually are for students. WRAL's Laura Levine is live in Cary to explain the proposed changes. Laura, a lot of parents are going to want to hear this.
Renee, this has been a conversation for quite some time. Now school leaders will come here in Cary tonight to make some clarifications on this process. The purpose of a new policy is to ensure teachers are using work days first and only using remote learning when absolutely necessary. Now, following state law, the school system is allowed to use up to 5 days for remote learning for emergency situations. This policy will specify exactly what constitutes as an emergency. For example, a natural disaster, inclement weather, public health emergencies, energy shortages, just to list a few. Education reporter Emily Walkenhurst tells me some concern was shared among members about whether or not schools should just be canceled for things like snow days.
So some school board members really just wanted to make sure that remote learning was used as an absolute last resort. Because even for some of them, even just a couple of days of remote learning a year was maybe going to be logistically challenging for certain families.
So in the event of an emergency, the superintendent would consult with school board members before making the call about whether or not to go remote. The meeting here will begin at 5:30 this afternoon. Laura Levine, WRAL News, live in Cary.
Coming up, it's a deadlock between candidates vying for a U.S. Senate seat for North Carolina. A look at the top concern from voters as the midterms approach.
And as Puerto Rico and Florida begin to recover from powerful storms, the president says federal assistance is on the way. We'll have details on his back-to-back tours of the devastation and the challenges people are facing as the cleanup gets underway.
Attention. While touring Puerto Rico, the president got a firsthand look at the damage Hurricane Fiona caused, offering financial assistance and reassurance to families there.
Still, we have to do more. We have to ensure that when the next hurricane strikes, Puerto Rico is ready.
People impacted by Fiona and previous storms in Puerto Rico worry if aid is enough.
You don't have any hope. It's you feel hopeless. Because you don't know what's going on.
Search and rescue!
Historic rescue operations continue in Florida, where the death toll from Hurricane Ian continues to rise. And there's growing criticism over the timing of evacuation orders. Emergency officials in Lee County are accused of being too slow to order people in low-lying areas to leave.
We did the best job at every level to get the information out way before the storm.
Meanwhile, power officials say changes to Florida's infrastructure is expediting repairs.
We believe we are going to be done with everybody who can accept power by the close of business on Friday.
For many Floridians, the focus is on rebuilding their homes and lives.
My mom was supposed to retire here and spend the rest of her life and be happy, and now we have nothing.
We'll be back. You know, just how long, I don't know.
President Biden will see the scale of destruction Ian left when he visits Florida tomorrow.
As Bree Jackson reporting, during his visit to Florida tomorrow, President Biden will meet with local officials and families affected by Hurricane Ian.
It is 8:41. Ahead, an organization dedicated to fighting child abuse speaks out after a woman is accused of hurting her own child. Find out why they say it's a community effort to make sure kids are safe. And it's a dead heat between candidates running for a U.S. Senate seat in North Carolina. We talk with the candidates about why they think they're the best person for the job. Welcome back. It is 8:44, a beautiful start to our Tuesday morning. The clouds are starting to clear in Goldsboro there with a little bit of sunshine peeking through. But here in Raleigh and across the Triangle, we have really pretty blue skies. Goodbye, clouds. And finally, hello, sunshine, Elizabeth.
So nice to see after days and days of the clouds all through the weekend. You know, it really started Thursday. And here we are at Tuesday, finally starting to break out of the clouds. Looking beautiful as we look across the legislative building. Just a little bit of light breeze here. You can see the flags just moving gently there. 50 degrees is our current temperature. Dual Doppler 5000 radars looking nice and quiet. Earlier this morning, we had just a few isolated showers that were showing up in our northeastern counties. That has fizzled out, but there's still plenty of rain associated with this low that once was Ian. It's pushing a lot of rain across parts of D.C., the Delmarva Peninsula, New York, New Jersey, and on up into New England. There have been some flooding problems, and the rain isn't over there. There's nothing in the upper level that is pushing this anywhere, so it's just sitting here. It's just stalled here off the coast of Virginia, and it will sit there for another day before it moves on out. And so the big question is, with it sitting so close to us, is how much sun we'll see. And we're definitely seeing plenty of it around the Triangle area right now. But as that low just sits and spins to our north and east, there may be some clouds that fill back in from Durham to Raleigh to Clinton. We're going to be fairly cloudy from Goldsboro to Rocky Mount up through Roanoke Rapids. But if you're south and west of Durham and Raleigh, you should be in the clear pretty much all day. But you can see those clouds around the Triangle kind of coming and going today. And that's why the temperature there is likely to be in the upper 60s. Triangle area temperature 69, 68. But 63 in South Hill and 66 in Rocky Mount, where the clouds stick around. It's going to be pretty cool today. But then we get into the 70s down here in Fayetteville and Southern Pines, where we see sunshine all day. Those temperatures will be about 10 degrees warmer than where the clouds linger. Let's watch this thing get on out of here. It's wandering across our area today, or at least just in our, you know, in our vicinity, just to our north and east, and then finally pulls out during the day tomorrow. The next thing that happens is this cold front moves in. It'll be nice and mild ahead of it, with upper 70s to low 80s, and then that front moves through and drops some chilly air on us again over the weekend. 77 is our normal high. We'll hit that on Thursday, then 82 Friday, but back down to 67 on Saturday, and we may be looking at some very chilly mornings as well. We take a look at our temperature outlook for the weekend and early next week. It looks like we have a good chance of below normal temperatures, but it was nice and warm in September. The warmest temperature, 98, the coolest, 47, and we had almost 5 inches of rain. Climate in crisis, though, as we check in on our Septembers, they have been warming up. You know, pretty much every graphic, it seems like we show you like this, is warming. And Septembers, the last 50 years, have warmed about 3 degrees on average. Not looking at very warm conditions today, but we definitely warm up by the end of the week at 82 on Friday. We cool back down over the weekend with temperatures in the 60s and morning lows down in the mid-40s.
Elizabeth, thanks. A Wilson County woman accused of seriously hurting her own child is behind bars this morning. 33-year-old Bracy Bird faces charges including child abuse and attempted murder. Investigators say her child was treated for third-degree burns back in July. Doctors then found previous injuries all over the child's body. We spoke with a local organization dedicated to fighting child abuse. Leaders say it's everyone's duty to speak up.
It is not up for us to decide whether or not a child has been abused or neglected. It is our legal responsibility to reach out to those whose responsibility it is to determine whether or not a child's welfare is at risk.
We reached out to people who know Bird for comment on this case. We have not heard back.
We are learning more about a man who was found shot to death in his car in Durham. As the search grows for his killer, we told you yesterday, 34-year-old Rashawn Cates was killed at the Hillendale Road exit off I-85. Now the mother of his child tells WRAL Cates worked with Bull City United, a group designed to stop gun violence. She says she is now worried for her own safety. Police say the shooting was not random. We asked about any motive and have not yet heard back.
A push to limit gatherings, including protests near school property in Orange County, is on hold. County commissioners voted to instead form a task force to study how best to implement the idea. They had initially planned to move forward with the new limits. The move faced a lot of pushback from the community.
There's new controversy this morning in a closely watched U.S. Senate race in Georgia. The Republican candidate, Herschel Walker, is responding to a report that he paid for a former girlfriend to get an abortion in 2009. Walker is an outspoken critic of the abortion, and the Daily Beast reports he and his then-girlfriend agreed to terminate a pregnancy, and he reimbursed her for the cost of the procedure. Walker called the report a lie and threatened to file a lawsuit. President Biden will discuss access to reproductive health care later today. The president is attending the second meeting of the White House Task Force on Reproductive Health Care Access. He plans to deliver remarks at the gathering. It'll happen around 3:30 this afternoon.
The candidates for an open U.S. Senate seat here in North Carolina are in a statistical dead heat. That's according to a newly released WRAL News poll. It shows 43% of voters in our state supporting Republican candidate Ted Budd and 42% in favor of Democrat Sherry Beasley. But 13% of voters were undecided. We talked with Budd and a spokesperson for Beasley about why they're the better choice for office.
Voters out there are concerned about inflation. They're worried about crime. They're worried about education. Parents want a say in their kids' education. So those are the things we're talking about.
Sherry has expressed to the people that she is an independent thinker, that she upholds the Constitution, that she believes in the right of women and to control their bodies.
They talked about a lot of issues, but our exclusive poll found the economy is the top issue for voters. Experts say this race could tip the balance of power in the U.S. Senate. We'll be releasing results of our exclusive WRAL News poll all week. Tonight at 5:30, we take a closer look at the race for North Carolina Supreme Court. We'll reveal who has the advantage tonight at 5:30. The San Francisco 49ers have another win under their belt this morning with the help of wide receiver Deebo Samuel.
Third down and three. Quick throw. What a catch. Samuel stays upright. Terrific catch and run. One-on-one with Ramsey. Can't bring him down. Samuel. Highlight reel.
Yes, certainly one for the highlight reel. That touchdown helped cement a lead for the 49ers over their NFC West rivals, the LA Rams. Final score, 24-9.
Seen it like seven times today, and it's still so good. In entertainment news, we get a sneak peek at the Black Panther sequel and a look at Will Smith's first movie release since the slapping incident with Chris Rock. Rick Damigella has today's Hollywood Minute.
Show them who we are.
Disney and Marvel Studios are showing MCU fans even more of Black Panther Wakanda Forever. The movie's second trailer doesn't specifically reveal who is now wearing the suit and carrying the mantle of Black Panther. The superpowered sequel arrives in movie theaters November 11th.
I heard it myself. Slaves are free.
Zazu. Lincoln.
Here is your first look at Will Smith in Emancipation. This is Smith's first project to reach audiences since the incident at this year's Oscars ceremony. Directed and executive produced by Antoine Fuqua and based on a true story, the movie stars Smith as a runaway slave trying to escape from plantation owners. Emancipation debuts in theaters December 2nd, followed by Apple TV Plus December 9th. In Hollywood, I'm Rick Damigella.
This year, Halloween candy is expected to cost more.
Yes, prices are projected to be 34% higher than compared to last year. That's according to data from PayPal. This comes as chocolate and candy companies deal with supply chain issues and inflation. Overall, the National Retail Federation projects Halloween spending will reach a record $10.6 billion per year, or this year, I should say. Tonight, police departments across our area are asking the community to take part in National Night Out. It is the national effort to foster stronger relationships with neighbors by holding celebrations with live music, food, and more. In Morrisville, the event runs from 6 to 9 at the Western Wake Farmers Market. In Rocky Mount, the fun goes from 6 to 8 at the Helen P. Gay Historic Train Station. And in Sanford, the celebration runs from 5 to 9 p.m. at various neighborhoods across that city. This will be Sanford's first national night out since the pandemic.
Well, it's great to see all that sunshine out there as you take a live look at downtown Raleigh. Finally, those clouds are clearing. It feels like it's been forever since we've last seen the sunshine.
I think you started it off with the yellow today.
I'm trying, yeah. And bring then your green.
Bring on the sun, yeah.
Is doing something.
Green grass at
there
the deep end.
Green grass beautiful. And green trees.
And blue skies right there. Stick around, we'll get another check on weather and traffic up next.
Your number one source for local news. This is WRAL, coverage you can count on.
8:56, the time right now on our Tuesday. I'm Jeff Hogan, and just a look behind me here, those blue skies right now over Raleigh. It's been a long time coming here, it feels like. Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center, and it feels pretty chilly out there.
It does. The clouds rolled in on Thursday, so it has been a long stretch without seeing sunshine. Looking beautiful here in Fayetteville right now without a cloud in the sky. But north and east of the triangle, we are going to see some cloud cover. Expect it to stay there all day. Right now, it's 46 in Roxborough and 52 in Fayetteville. Our temperatures around the triangle will climb into the upper 60s to low 70s. But in the northeast, it's likely to stay in the low 60s. Michelle?
And a quick traffic update for you. Tracking a number of crashes this morning in the triangle. Things looking pretty busy. This is US 401 at I-440. Check out how long these delays stretch back. Keep that in mind if you were in that area. That is the westbound lane. Another crash I'm also tracking for you just south of that is I-440. That's at Capitol Boulevard. That one not seeing any delays. Jeff?
This month, Dix Park is welcoming the fall season and showcasing an incredible legacy and culture. Coming up at 9 o'clock on Fox 50, we'll have a guest who will join us live with a preview of those celebrations. That's in our next newscast. It begins just a few minutes on Fox 50. We'll see you then.
Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
And more rezoning hearings happening today at Raleigh City Council meeting. Coming up, we're going to tell you about the uptick and why many residents are upset.
And we're starting to see a little bit more sunshine across our viewing area. Coming up, I'm going to show you why we're seeing some of those clouds clear out.
And cardboard cars could be coming to the roadways. We have a look at the unique sustainable vehicles that are turning heads this morning. The day that I see that on the road, I am going to be so confused.
And my question is, can they deal with a car seat? That's what I want to know.
Yes, that's a big question for you. You've got more babies there coming, Ken. Also, what does it do in the rain?
Oh, my gosh.
If it's cardboard. I don't know. All right. Thanks for joining us. I'm Michelle McConaughey.
And I'm Ken Smith. We always appreciate your time here in the 9 o'clock hour on Fox 50. Let's get right back to meteorologist Peter Sherwood in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with how this day is going to shape up for us.
Well, we are seeing some improvements in the forecast. Finally starting to see some sunshine in some of our viewing areas where we really haven't seen the sun. We are still watching the remnants of Ian move across the mid-Atlantic. You can see that mid to upper level swirl bringing rain into New York and D.C. For us, we're on the drier end of this, and we're starting to see a lot of sunshine across our viewing area. This is a live look at the legislative building there, and you can see in the background still some clouds out to the east. We are going to continue to work on some of those clouds out east throughout the afternoon, but notice areas to the south and west will be dealing with a lot more sunshine. sunshine. The areas that see the sun today have the potential to see warmer temperatures. So that's certainly good news for some of those areas and some of those folks looking for the warmth. We're currently at 54 degrees in Raleigh and Durham. We're seeing 54 in Fayetteville. This afternoon, our temperatures are still going to be a little bit below normal for this time of the year, but we're heading to 65 at 2, 68 for the afternoon high with evening temperatures in the lower 60s and upper 50s. Coming up, I'm going to show you the warming trend that I'm tracking. I'll let you know how soon highs will bounce into the 80s.
All right, thank you, PETA. The remnants of Ian are still causing problems this morning. Take a look at this new video overnight out of New Jersey. You can see streets flooded in Ocean City. That's along the coast. Officials there say the storm caused many cars to stall out in the high waters, and more rain is expected for that area through tomorrow. And breaking overnight, we've learned the death toll from the storm now tops 106. That includes 4 people here in North Carolina and 102 in Florida. New video shows the destruction on Sanibel Island. That's where emergency officials are pushing back against growing criticism that they could have prepared better for the storm. Some say crews were too slow to evacuate low-lying areas in Ian's path.
I am confident in our county manager, our leaders, our governor, all of us in law enforcement that we got that message out at the right time. Now, whether people listen to it, we can't force people out of their homes, but we can continuously say, look, mandatory evacuation.
As of this morning, more than 450,000 people in Florida remain without power. Search and rescue efforts are ongoing.
Speeding is the focus this week as North Carolina law enforcement agencies launch a new safety traffic initiative. You'll notice more officers on the roads as part of the Operation Crash Reduction campaign. Law enforcement officers are cracking down on speeding by using radar and putting up speed display signs. So far this year, nearly 300 people have died in speeding-related crashes in North Carolina. The operation runs through Sunday. Raleigh is experiencing growing pains, with City Council on the verge of approving more housing and businesses. Some neighbors are ready to speak out against the plans already on the table. WREL's Nyah Harden reports from Seaboard Station, one of the many places city leaders have agreed to change.
Well, you can't tell by looking at it, but here behind me where the Seaboard Station is, this will soon be what could be up to 20 stories tall of a building that we would be looking at here in this area. It's not just this particular area, though, where this is happening. It is happening all across Raleigh, and people have not been happy with the recent uptick. Just last month, at least 19 rezonings were approved to allow buildings up to 20 stories or taller. Another 19 are under review, most of them in downtown, Midtown, North Hills, and the Briar Creek area. During the pandemic, the City Council changed the city zoning code to allow for smaller homes on smaller lots and denser development near high-frequency transit. It's called Missing Middle. One group called Save Our Neighborhoods plans to address the situation at tonight's council meeting. WREL will be there tonight at 7 o'clock, and we'll have updates for you in our later newscast. Nyah Harden, WREL News in Raleigh.
Well, school leaders in Wake County could move forward today on bonuses for all pre-K through fifth grade teachers. The school board is considering spending $16 million to give out their $2,000 bonuses. The reason for the extra money would be to encourage teachers to do the 100-plus hours of professional development needed for the state's new reading curriculum. The district already offered a bonus for those who did it last year. Now, some have complained about the new curriculum since it doesn't count toward licensure for many teachers. Ahead in our next half hour, WREL's Laura Levine shows us what could also be decided today about remote learning.
More U.S. aid is headed to Ukraine as the country gains ground in its fight against Russia's invasion. The White House is expected to announce a $625 million military package for Ukrainian forces later today. It will include 4 more advanced rocket systems. So the move comes one day after Ukraine advanced on Russian defenses on at least 2 fronts. That includes areas of the country that Russia is in the process of annexing. Virtually no other country has recognized that annexation. New overnight, the U.S. is responding to North Korea's missile launch over Japan. In a statement released just before 11 p.m., a spokesperson for the National Security Council called North Korea's launch dangerous and reckless. The missile prompted Japan to issue evacuation notices and suspend trains. It's the biggest escalation in missile testing so far this year from North Korea and the first time it launched a ballistic missile over Japan in 5 years.
New this morning, the Nobel Prize in Physics awarded to three scientists, Elaine Aspect, John F. Kauser, and Anton Zellinger, will share the recognition. The three scientists earned the award for their work in quantum mechanics. They will share more than $900,000, courtesy of the Royal Swedish Academy of Sciences. Physics is the second Nobel to be awarded this week. Next up, the Nobel Prize for Chemistry will be announced tomorrow.
Time now, 9:07. A U.S. soccer investigation finds sexual misconduct in the Women's Professional League. Coming up, former NC Courage coach reactions to the report.
Also, as Puerto Rico and Florida begin to recover from powerful storms, the president says federal assistance is on the way. Still ahead, a look at his back-to-back tours of the devastation and the challenges people are facing. Let's welcome back meteorologist Peter Sherwood.
Remnants of Ian still causing a mess across the mid-Atlantic and the Northeast. Coming up, I'm going to show you how soon this area of low pressure will move out, and we'll see sunshine and warmer temperatures move in.